If you want a title for this tonight, it says it pays to pay attention. Now, I read some things that was kind of eye-opening recently. A recent survey showed that only about 19% of churchgoers read the Bible every day. And they're supposed to put a slide up. I don't see it yet, but maybe I'll get it. Here it is. 19% read every day, 26% read it a few times a week, 14% read one a week, 22% read it at least once a month, and 18% say that they rarely or never. This is churchgoers. That's a pretty staggering fact, isn't it? Another study showed that only 11% of Americans have read the Bible once all the way through, and only 9% have read it multiple times. They got a slide for that. There it is. I think, there's 15% at least half of it, 12% almost all of it, 11% all of it, 9% all of it more than once, 10% none of it, only a few sentences, and 30% several passages or stories. No, that's pretty staggering statistics. No wonder somebody from the pulpit or on television or something can feed people anything they want to, because they don't know the Bible. So they don't know whether they're quoting the Bible or not. I know we're busy all the time and we're challenged with our time. And there's a many, many things that try to get our attention. But we got to make sure we pay attention to the right things. Let's read Proverbs 4:20. Proverbs 4:20, the New Living. I'm going to read to you from the New Living, and I'm going to read the Voice translation. The New Living says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body." Now, the Voice translation says it like this: "My son, pay attention to all the words I'm telling you. Lean in closer so you may hear all I say. Keep them before you. Meditate on them. Set them safely in your heart. For those who discover them, they are alive. They bring wholeness and healing to their body." I think old King Solomon here gave some pretty good instruction. But then somebody said, "Oh, that's elementary." Well, sometimes it's the elementary things that get the job done. One man said, "The man who does the basics well will be successful." Another man said, "Our success is hidden in our daily routine." What we just read seems elementary and basic. But if any of you have ever played on a sports team, it's the team that executes the basics of the game the best is the one that wins. It's really fun when you play the game and you win, or track meet, like I used to run track. You go across the finish line, the adrenaline's pumping, and fans are shouting, teammates are patting you on the back. Coaches are hollering and up great, the spontaneous outburst of the audience when the winners are announced by the announcer. And that is really great time. Anybody ever been there? Few of us have. Now let me ask you another question. What did you have to do to get there? Come on now. Everybody likes to stand on the podium. Everybody likes to get the chain put around their neck. You know, everybody likes it when you win the game and the confetti comes flying down. What did they do? What did you do to get there? Practice. And practice again and again and again and again. I went over in the gym late yesterday afternoon after the ball practice, the men's basketball team, and one of the boys was out there. We have this deal where you can shoot it. It comes in the net, and then it pops it back to you. Now, he had practiced. They had practice over. He shot 600 shots, one after another, not taking a break. You know, that'd pay off. They say if you're going to be a good foul line shooter in basketball, you need to shoot at least, that's the minimum, 100 foul shots in a row without stopping. Take a break and shoot another 100. One of my grandsons, he played basketball on the team, and so they were raising some money for the high school. And so he said, "Poppy, I got to get people to sponsor me." And I said, "Okay, I give you a dollar a shot." Well, you give a dollar every shot they make. So I came back to him and I said, he came back to me and said, "Okay, I need my money." And I said, "Well, how many did you shoot?" He said, 93. 93 out of 100. He graduated from high school and his foul shooting percentage was 90%. Anybody knows if you shoot 75, 80%, that's good. 90% is really excellent. But you know, he got there because he practiced. He shot a lot of shots. If you want to be successful in your Christian life, you got to learn the basics. The basics. I was watching football this weekend, and I got exasperated at some of these guys trying to tackle. Instead of grabbing them, they just run and try to knock them down, reach out one arm. That's not, either they never taught the basics of what to do, or maybe they don't teach it like they did when I played. When I played and that runner's coming at me, I break down and I watch his belt. I don't look at anything else, because wherever that belt buckle goes, that's where he's going to go. It don't matter what his shoulders do or anything else. And I break down, I aim in there, I slide my head to the side, I catch him right in the middle, grab my hands behind him and lock him up and drive him down. I get, you know, that's the basics. But every time we started a new season, we went over to basics. You see, what are our basics? Well, continually reading the Word of God. Continually praying and believing God. Continually going to church and worshiping God. Continually walking in love toward one another. Now, we all know these are the basics of Christianity. But are we doing what Solomon said? Paying attention to the word. What's that mean? That means not letting something else get your attention. When you're sat down to read the word, then get focused on the word. Pay attention to the word. It means making the word a priority. Actually, how much of the word of God you have on the inside of you is your foundation that sustains you. You know, and you heard me say it many, many times when people ask my dad a question, he would say, "What does the word say?" And one of his critics said one time, "The problem with Brother Hagin is that he takes the word literally." I'm serious. Well, how are we supposed to take it? Literally. See, it's dealing with the word correctly. It's the basics. In running track, there's a correct way to do things. There's a correct way to come out of the starting blocks. And if you're a sprinter, now I don't know nothing about them long distance runners, they can have that. I don't. But if you're a sprinter, man, when I get into my full stride, I'm raising that knee up high and I'm kicking it out. Wham, pow. They said that when I was running at my full best, my running, I'm taking about 4 feet every step. I'm taking about 4 foot, they say, because you push off that back foot. If you ever see a sprinter and his knees start dropping, that means he's getting tired. Knowing the Word of God is one thing. Doing it is another. Knowing the basics of anything, whatever, is one thing. But executing them is another. Vince Lombardi, great football coach. Tom Landry's great football coach. They both said the same thing. I'll give you my plays. And if my players execute perfectly, you can't stop it. The reason any play in football makes any yardage is because somebody wasn't in the right position. In fact, I was listening at one of the games this weekend, this Sunday, I don't know when it was, Sunday afternoon, or I don't know when it was. And anyway, they did a deal showing, they did the illustrator, and they said the reason this play worked is because, see here, this guy, he took two steps this way before he came back this way. That two steps that way allowed that receiver to catch the ball and go for a touchdown. He was out of position. He didn't execute properly. I played the outfield in baseball, and I used to see people take a step up, and then they'd had to go back. You got to learn. I played center field, and I learned the sound of the crack of the bat. And I would see the flight of the ball, and then I would turn to go to it. I didn't wait. If it's a pop-up, I don't wait to see. I come charging in hard as I can and try to. And I did a lot of scoop catches. Lynette, I tell you, she watched me play. I played for Southside Assembly down around. See, we have to pay attention to the basics, or the problems of life are going to take us under. Now, in this area where we got this church built, all them houses, there's apartment, our student housing over there, this ground is clay, and it moves and does all kinds of stuff. In fact, those apartments, we've had to jack them up two or three different times. Some of the people that live back in there have had foundation problems. Well, this church is sitting there, and the administration building down there, you can tell that it's moved around. In fact, you can see where it's settled. But this building, SDC 1, SDC 2, they're solid. Why? Because we paid attention to the foundation. This this is a 450-foot square, this building. They took 3 feet of topsoil out of here. Now, 350 feet is 100 yards, right? So that means 100 yards that way, 100 yards that way, 100 yards that way, 100 yards that way. And now they scoop all that dirt out. And we had something out here called Hagen's Mountain. That's what they called it. How many of y'all were here when we were building this church? Remember they call that dirt pile out there? Was as tall as this church, I guess. I don't know. They called it Hagen's Mountain. And then we had to bring in proper soil. And we brought in different things, lime and I don't know what all. We brought in and they used the sheep foot and they mixed that stuff up. They rolled it out. And then they brought in another load and another load until they built it back up 3 feet. I mean, when we got ready to drill the holes here, you come out and dribble a basketball. I mean, it was just solid level. It was that hard. But now, that's good, and we needed that. But when you build a building, you can only go as tall as your foundation will let you. What most people don't realize, these skyscrapers and stuff that are built, there's piers going down in the ground as high as them things are tall. There's a pillar going up right there, goes up town. There's one down there and one there because this is free spanning. Now the others are not. There is a, where they set that metal big I-beam, that thick, they set it there. That's 63 feet deep. It's 6 feet in diameter. That's how big the hole is. And then they made a wire cage out of rebar that was about that big around. Wired it all together, and it's 63 feet down. Put it down, put them all together, put it down in there. Then they poured 63 feet of concrete. I forget how many trucks it took, but that's a lot of concrete going down in the ground. But that's good. But there's one thing they had to do that most people don't understand. They had this long deal with a vibrator on the bottom of it, and they would move it around that hole like that as they were pouring in that concrete. And then as it came up, that was so that there was no dead spaces, no honeycomb. And how many of you were here when we had the snowstorm and it was on the roof back there? It was, 7 foot tall? They had to get up there and take it off. But you know what? If you were in this side, over here in this part, you'd never know it. That's because of how the building is built. See, the reason that you see some people get born again, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and begin to live for God, you see them every time some little something happens, they go all to pieces. And you see other people, tragedy comes, everything comes, whatever comes, they're steady as a rock. That's because they got a foundation. That's because they're not one of those that reads it, the word every once in a while. See, King Solomon here said, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Other translations said, pay attention, listen carefully. You ever remember your parents or a school teacher saying, listen to what I'm saying? Why? Because you weren't listening. Yeah, you probably sitting in a class daydreaming about something. Yeah. I was sitting in class one time, daydreaming about football plays. And all of a sudden, the professor, that's when I was playing, when I was going to Bible school, and it was our intramural team. And all of a sudden, the professor said, "Hagin, what's the answer to that question?" "What question? I didn't hear no question. Why? Because I wasn't paying attention. I was in the class. I heard the sound of his voice, but I didn't hear what he was saying because my attention was not on that. My attention was on football play. Come on now. And there are people, they go to church and they sit in the pew or they sit in the chair. They hear the sound of the minister's voice, but they don't hear what he said because their attention is not there. They're making out their grocery list, or this time of year, their Christmas list. Come on now. Sometimes we need to be reminded, pay attention. Say it, pay attention. You know, sometimes we need to put forth extra effort. When I was running track, I would put forth, after everybody else left, I'd still go run 4 or 5 more 220s. Anyway, everybody else in the locker room, I run 4 or 5 220s, and by that time, half of them's gone, and it's just a whole lot easier in the locker room. Any guys know what I'm talking about? And then you don't take a chance of getting popped with a towel either. How many of you in the locker room ever been popped with a towel? These ladies don't know nothing about that stuff. I'm sorry, I shouldn't even said that probably. But put forth extra effort. Pay attention. Incline your ear. I believe it says pay attention, incline your ear. I think he's telling us that we need to make a priority out of that. Cultivate a daily routine with the word. He goes on, he says, don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep in your heart. See? Listen carefully. Pay attention to the word, my words. And this is, he's talking about the word of God. Meditate on them. See, it's easy to read the Bible when you're at church and there's worship going on. But it's a challenge to read the Bible when you're at home and there's 15,000 other things that need to be done. Oh, well, I tell you what, I'm going to do this. And I'll double up tonight on my reading. But you get there tonight. Oh, man, it's been a rough day. I'm too tired. I'll get it in the morning. Don't sit there and look at me like that. Every one of you know what I'm talking about. You've been there and done that. Come on. Some of you sitting there so pious. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them before your eyes. Now, why would he say don't lose sight of them? Keep them before your eyes. Actually, we find, if you go back and read that, in Joshua, first chapter of Joshua, it says the same thing. Meditate on them day and night, right? If you want to be successful. Joshua 1:8. Keep them before your eyes. Why are they saying that? Because human beings are visual. We are visual people. We're moved by what we see. We respond according to what we see and look at. The world knows that, and they do a great job creating on TV and advertising and magazines. How many of you notice signs on the way to church tonight? Come on, be honest with me. Yeah. I noticed one sign on the way. Oh, they've changed their sign. See, why have they got those out there? To get our attention so we'll go and buy the product. I noticed starting in September in my mailbox are all kinds of different catalogs. How many of you are getting all, every day you're getting catalog after catalog? Huh? Come on, I got three people raise their hand, and I know better than that. Some of them, they just send them to occupant. And if you've ever ordered anything from any company on the internet, you're going to get lots of different. How did I get this magazine? I've never ordered from this company. It's because those companies make money by selling your name and address to them because you're a live customer. Come on. See, keep the word in front of you. You'll either move in line with it or you won't move at all. But if you continue to look at something else, that's the way you're going to go. Guard your eyes. What you consistently see is what you will believe, whether it's true or not. They're trying to do that right now in the political world. They're telling all kinds of junk, and it ain't true at all. But if they tell it to you long enough, you'll start believing it. In fact, in psychology, and I've got 22 hours in my degree plan, they say that if a person tells a lie long enough, they will actually start believing it. They can even pass a lie detector test. That's why they keep putting that stuff in front of us, because pretty soon you will start believing it. That's what they've done with homosexuality and all of that. They put it on the TV and they gradually, until people begin saying, well, I guess people are different. We might order maybe. No. What does the Bible say, people? What does the Bible say? I've said it, and I can see it coming. It's going to come to a point that you're either going to have to take a stand with the Bible or not. One of the major denominations is facing a test right now. The Methodist denomination. There's probably going to be a split. The word is either word or it's not. If I preach this all of my life, I've lived it, I believe it, then I'm not going to turn on it. Just to be correct. It's vitally important that you keep the word in front of you. Keep it in front of you. That's what he's talking about. I mean reading it daily. Now you can't drive a car and do this, but I'm talking about you daily. There's a routine. There's a time you do it. You know, what we see affects us. I tell my students all the time that's preparing for ministry, they see you before they ever hear you preach a sermon. Before they ever hear you open your mouth, they see you come up on the stage. If you come on a stage looking sloppy, they will form opinion, well, they're sloppy in everything they do. Hey, don't look at me like that. If you go study in this natural world we live in, there are certain jobs that they will tell you how to dress. I know this for a fact, that trial lawyers, will dress their client a certain way for those jurors to see, because it makes a difference. If it's that strong, then it makes a big difference how much this word we read every day. Y'all awful quiet tonight, but I'm not dealing with a subject that don't get you shouting, but I am dealing with a subject that's going to help you in your life. He goes on to say in 4:22, "For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body." Some other translations say, New Century, "They are the key to life for those who find them. They bring health to the whole body." The Old Living Bible, before they did the New Living, said, "For they will mean real life for you and radiant health." And they are the key to life for those who find them and bring health to the whole body. Now, wait a minute. Key to life, but then it says health to the body. That's the natural. It's the life is the spiritual life. You know, it's powerful. The Word of God is powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says so. New Living Translation, "For the word of God is alive, powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires." The Living Bible, the original Living Bible, before they did the New Living Bible, said, "For whatever God says to us is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest dagger, cutting swift and deep into our innermost thoughts and desires, with all parts exposing us for what we really are." Now there is a key why people do not like to get into reading the Word, because it begins to expose them. Come on now. If you're not doing right and you start reading the Word, it begins to expose you. What I mean by that, it begins to show you, hey, you're doing wrong. But see, as long as they don't get into the Word very much and go to church and hear somebody preach to them a feel good sermon, then they're okay. But just okay is not enough. There's one of the insurance on commercials on the television. Just okay. Anybody seen those? You know, we need to be more than just okay. We need to be born again. And when you become born again by the power of the Jesus Christ, There's a heart change and a life change. I've seen people that quote the sinner's prayer with somebody just to get them off their back, but they didn't really mean it. They didn't believe it. And there's no heart change. But they'll go away and say, "Oh, I'm a Christian. I prayed the prayer." But there's no heart change and there's no life change. So that tells me they mouthed a bunch of words, but they didn't really believe it in their heart, because the Word of God says you got to believe it in your heart. They didn't believe it. You get into the Word, it'll begin to show you some things about yourself. Boy, it's quiet tonight. Somebody said, "I'm going where angels fear to tread." Another guy said, "Like a bull in the china closet, stepping on everything, breaking everything up." I don't mean to step on anybody's toes, but I want to wake you up to the fact that if we want to be strong spiritually, if we want to be healthy, we got to get in the Word. It says so. You know what this says. You know, I ask people this a lot of time. I have before. I said, you ever gone to a doctor? Yeah. They ever given you a bottle of medicine? Yeah. They said, take 3 times a day and make sure you take all of it. What happens if you just, you take it 2 or 3 days, start feeling better, say, okay, I'm all right now, and you just put it up? You didn't pay attention to the instructions. And a lot of times you end up worse than what you was to start with. See, and the same thing. Pay attention to the word. Do what the word says. And then we'll have what John 10:10 says, a rich and satisfying life. Another translation, have it to the full. Another translation, have it to the fullest measure. Another translation, have it till it overflows. God wants us to be impregnated with the Word of God in every area of our life so that we'll be successful. That's what he told Joshua in Joshua 1:8. He said, keep the word before you day and night. Don't let it part from your eyes. And then you will make your way and you'll be prosperous and successful. You could, one translation says. You see, everybody wants it, but they're not willing to put the foundation in to have it. You can only build a building as big and tall as the foundation will allow. Talking with some guys one time, and this guy, he wanted to add a second story to his house or part of the house. And I told him, you know, I don't know nothing about, I mean, I know a little bit about building. I built a lot of buildings around here. Helped build a lot of buildings when I was associate pastor too. But I said, you can't do that. Well, I don't know why not. I said, get an engineer. He'll tell you. So we got a guy to come over and look at it, an architect and engineer and stuff. Said, I'd like to. They said, you can't do it. Well, why? Why? They said, because the foundation was not laid to have a second story. There are a lot of people trying to have second and third stories in their relationship with God, and the foundation hadn't been laid to have it. And they get frustrated because it's not working. Why is it not working? Because they haven't laid the foundation to start with by reading the Word of God and knowing what the Word of God says. Therefore, they can't go. See, you know, we got to have it in our hearts. I mean, it's the having the Word of God in our hearts, like we just read. I'm going to go read it again. I'm going to read the voice translated. Pay attention, my son, pay attention to all the words I'm telling you. Lean closer in so that you may hear all I say. Keep them before you. Meditate on them. Set them safely in your heart. For those who discover them, they are life. They bring wholeness and healing to their bodies. If you've got the foundation of the word, it's either life or death. One or the other. With the foundation, life. Without the foundation of the word, death. Health or sickness. Prosperity or poverty. Bound or free. Condemned or righteous. See? That's where it's at. 2 Peter 1:4. Great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share the divine nature. The New Life Version says, these promises are of great worth. No money can buy them. Through these promises, you can have God's own life in you now that you have gotten away from the sinful things of the world which came from wrong desires of the flesh. The word of God and knowing the word is more precious than money. Because that word, knowing that word will get you there. That's why I say that. We had a man come from Africa one time. He's done a great job there. He was a lawyer to start with, and he got a hold of the word of faith and began to read them. And he came here in the 90s at the Winter Bible Seminar. We had it over in the NRC. That's where this was built. The 89, somewhere in that area. And he went home with every tape and book and stuff that we had. And his wife, she was so excited because he had bought her from America. He'd bought her microwaves and all these kind of stuff. And she opened them up and she says, "This is just books and tapes. I thought you were going to bring me this and this and this." He said, "Listen, what's in these will get you all the microwaves you want." See, that's what we got to understand. The word of God is the key that unlocks the door for all of his blessings. The foundation in the word. Anybody get anything tonight? I want us to stand up. It's time to get off of barely get along streets and get up on Abundant Life Avenue. I want us all to say this together. I take the advice, say it with me. I take the advice that God gave us in Proverbs 4, 20 and 22. I renew my commitment to study and read the word. On a daily basis, I will pay greater attention to the Word of God. I will incline my ear to hear what the Word of God is saying. I will not let the Word of God depart from my eyes. I will hide the Word in my heart. I will build a foundation so that my spiritual house can be as big as I let God build it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for helping me to live my life based on your word. Heavenly Father, I've spoken to these people for a few moments tonight just to stir up their minds and hearts about the word. I thank you that we will all take heed to what is said tonight. Maybe we didn't need everything that was said, but Father, we needed something that was said. May we take that and make adjustments so that we will continually grow in you and every blessing will be ours. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed putting that together. I really enjoyed teaching it to you. I don't know whether you enjoyed it that well or not, but as I was putting it together, I really began to get a hold of the fact, hey man, this is where it's at. This is the key. The word is the key and keeping it before our eyes. And then those statistics they blew me away. Only 19% of churchgoers read the Bible every day. You know, only 9% have read the Bible through more than once. Only 11% have read the Bible all the way through one time. I at least know my kids read it through five times because we did it with them at devotions when they were at home as teenagers. Praise the Lord. That's one way to get the word into some of your kids. Read it with them. Remember, You have to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior before you can get involved in what I was talking about tonight and the blessings of God. If that's you and you don't know Jesus, if you'll come down here, the ladies here, the men over here, they'll pray with you and start you out on that road. Or if you know what it is to walk that road, but you know you're not where you're supposed to be, come and pray with you, them, and they rededicate your life. If you need prayer for any reason, for anything, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, want somebody to pray with you, agree with you about a job or whatever, and you need prayer, this is where you come as we're dismissed. Hey, connection team, go find the first-time guest. Take them to get that special gift that we have prepared for them. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. But come on, join our family. We call ourselves the Ramey family. We have a great time serving God unlimited around here. Hey, Sunday morning right here, 9:30 School of the Bible, 10 o'clock morning worship. Hey, bring somebody with you. Be sure to turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to get in the Word.